Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
You
My
sure
name is
will.
Daniel Lim, and that's Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, here's another question that came in from our Plus membership. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the same guy, because it's also Akron, Ohio. Same guy as what we addressed in episode 436 about selection and interviewing and campus pastoring and leadership pipelines. So if you haven't listened to that one, be sure to do that. But here is the question. Our oldest and flagship campus, currently we have five campuses at various stages of growth, is considering moving from two services to a service on Sunday. This campus has been in decline for a number of years. It's stabilized under our new leadership, and we've undertaken a campus planting strategy to plant 10 campuses in 10 years in the greater Akron, Ohio area. So 99% sure it's the same guy. We are experiencing signs of new life. However, we are kicking around the idea of taking our flagship campus from two services to one, so that when we get to worship center capacity, we plant and continue that cycle. So my question is this: are there any churches that you know of that have moved to a philosophy like this, right? Two services.
Nope.
To one. Was it successful? How do you do this in such a way that it doesn't have the appearance to be a response of a 15-year decline rather than an intentional campus planting strategy?
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
So, first of all, I don't know anyone who's done anything like that before. While I know people who only have one service and plant when that service gets full, they've all started out that way. So, this is a whole different thing altogether.
Yeah. Or I've seen churches that would plant to campus, and instead of doing multiple services when they grow, they would then plant another campus and just keep it to one service.
Right.
I don't recommend that, but I have heard that. But I haven't heard the idea of a flagship campus going from two to one and then using that as a campus planting strategy. It kind of sounds like you're spinning, doesn't it?
It does, but I think there's a way to do it. Okay. I do think there's a way to do it. First of all, I would say consider. Most people want to get to two services. They're looking to get to two services because of the ROI on doing so. You're able to let volunteers, volunteer and then come to service. Like, you actually get a larger pool of volunteers for your leadership pipeline if you have two services. So it's better, in my opinion. However, to answer your question, I think if the numbers work, the best strategy would — this is going to sound really DC, bro — but the best strategy would be to make the move back to one service in conjunction with launching the new plant. So that's really important, because I think it's more than saving face. It's more than optics. By doing something like that, it's strategic. But it would shift the culture and build momentum if the vision aligned with that. So it shifts the conversation from one of a response to decline to advancing toward mission and vision. It also indicates and communicates, hey, a burn the ships mentality of we're not going back, which can also be quite evocative to a congregation. But you have to be all in on it. The biggest question is, do you have a solid enough leadership pipeline here to be able to pull this off? Because you're going from two services where you have the option of having a bigger pipeline and more, people to engage in. And it's easier to serve in a scenario like that because I'm not giving anything up. So do you have the pipeline here to not only go to one service in one location, but to go to two services in two locations and make it even harder?
Yeah.
That is the question. I think it can be done. But you better be a really good leader that has clearly communicated this is not about a response to decline. It is advancing toward mission and vision. So you have to have that mission and vision really clear. It has to be really compelling and people have to buy into the scenario. Otherwise, they're going to say, you're spinning.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. Okay. I'll come on the same page with you there. I think that's probably maybe one of the only ways that we can, that you'd be able to go from 2 to 1 and have it be a momentum builder rather than kind of sap the momentum around what we're doing. Because you're obviously going to have haters, right? You're going to have people who are like, wait, why are we spending money on campuses and all of this stuff when this building is not full? And when this is, you know, it's, you know, we're not using space and we're not stewarding our resources well. So why are you doing that? Why don't we just focus on this? And I think when you do a strategy like that, Todd, where it's this idea of we'll go from 2 to 1 because we're sending one out on the same weekend, and you build it up all around that same weekend, then you're able to actually say, oh, okay, this is a strategy for us where every campus has one service. And when the service gets full or 70% full, then we actually go out to that next one. So, hey, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor. And then what we'll do is we'll come back and just continue to wrestle down this question. Considering the seismic cultural shifts all around us, we must ask what lies ahead for Christians around the world. No one has done more to startle the church from its slumber than Len Sweet, and no one has equipped the church as effectively. Rings of Fire is a benchmark book from a seminal leader of the modern evangelical movement. In this book, Len outlines over 25 rings of fire facing the church and how we can walk in faith through this volcanic future. You can get your copy of Rings of Fire at navpress.com. Now back to the podcast. So the other alternative that I would suggest is not to go from 2 to 1, but continue to ramp up and get ready for the new campus, but gather around individuals on your staff and in your church who are momentum building, creative individuals who can help you fill up both services. Right, so I'll give you a practical example. Right now at my church, we just launched one of our campuses went from a movie theater to a about 500 seat auditorium, and I mean the movie theater was capping at about 220 people one service. So we launched a few months back this new building, two services, launched with over 900 something people. You know, now we're averaging out about 5 to 600 people on a basis. But what we've seen is there's a few hundred that left our West campus and went to our Southwest campus, which means we have a lot more space now at our West campus, right? Which means 2 out of 3 of our services are pretty thin, they're getting thin compared to our largest one. So instead of us saying, hey, let's shut down this service because of that, I've actually gathered together 3 different skunk work teams, right? These are individuals who are momentum building, highly innovative, creative on our staff team. And I mean, we have a pretty large staff team. So these are people who are organizationally maybe several layers removed from a lead team, setting. And I've brought them together in groups of 3 to 4. And we've been brainstorming, hey, how do we increase, how do we increase our West campus by 500 people by next year? Right? What would it take to do that? So that's the advice that I would give you too, where it's like, yes, look at, keep on growing toward launching 10 campuses in 10 years, but instead of going from 2 to 1, bring together these creative, a lot of the creative ideas, they might not be at the top because you have a lot of managers there, but you might actually have a lot of creative ideas down through your organization and your church. So how do you bring them together and brainstorm what are big things that you can do to create momentum and fill those seats?
I would go back just to that point of it. In some ways, it's easier to kill a new campus than it is a second service. Just in a traditional church setting, because it's more painful. It's way more painful than you realize. It will cost you way more than you think it does to kill that service, because there are people that are serving now that will quit serving once you force them into one campus. There are opportunities there. I know that somebody could look at the glass half full or glass half empty. They say, well, we won't need as many volunteers because we won't, we won't have 2 children's programs, or we won't have this. that's what I'm telling you. That's what you think. But if you actually do it, I think it's going to cost you way, way more than you would imagine. Because there's so many benefits to keeping that second service. I would lean toward what Daniel said. If you're, you know, just absolutely bent on killing that one, and you may have your reasons that we don't know, but if you're absolutely bent on that, then I would say your only option to keep momentum is to shift it toward mission and vision, and make sure that you do that really well, and then do those things in conjunction together. So you're going to get people to commit to go out to that new campus from those services, and you know, make sure that all this thing happens on one day at one time, and then I think it's something to be celebrated.
Hey, thanks again for listening in. And if you haven't yet checked out the Ask Me Anything podcast with JD Greer and Matt Love, be sure to do that. They're a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family and recently cover topics like, what do you do if you find out about sexual abuse situations? What's the greatest need in the American church, and is faith a gift of God? So just look up Ask Me Anything on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.